Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
And are able to, so let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was troubled within him when he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with those who worshipped God in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Then also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers argued with him. Some said, "What is this pseudo-intellectual trying to say?" Others replied, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign deities," because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. They took him and brought him to the Areopagus and said, "May we learn about this new teaching that you're speaking of? For what you say sounds strange to us, and we want to know what these ideas mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners residing there spent their time on nothing else but telling or hearing something new. Father, thank you this morning, God, that we have truth. We have a standard with which we know that there is an absolute moral truth that is based on who you are as our Creator. Father, and I pray today that you would solidify that. Help us understand that anything outside of the context of your purpose and plan is not going to bring us peace. It's not going to bring fulfillment. It will only steal from us and try to remove the blessing, God, that it means to know, love, honor, glorify, and serve you. Father, hide me behind the cross today, Lord, so that the only one that's seen today is the Spirit, God, your Spirit, that speaks to hearts as only you can. May you alone be glorified. And Father, I pray if there's one here today or watching online that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would come to know the truth, Father, that we were born broken, that sin stained the beauty of what you'd created, Lord, and your desire is to forgive us, to cleanse us, to restore fellowship with you, so we can find that perfect place of peace, that fulfillment, and that plan that you have laid out for our lives. God, may you alone be glorified, and we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So verse 16 and 17 again. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was troubled within him, as he saw a city that was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with those who worshipped God, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. It's the first thing I want to share with you this morning. It's this. Idols are all around us. Idols are all around us. Now, we're not dealing with them in the sense of the physical, because that's what we can tend to think sometimes. Well, I don't have a wooden idol, I don't have a rock, granite, I don't have some physical thing that I'm worshiping today. And so I don't have this image, that this thing that I'm dealing with, it's not like that for me. Well, it doesn't have to be an image, church. Don't forget this. It doesn't even have to be something physical, it can be a belief system. We can worship people. We can worship thought processes. We can make a retirement, or that time one day when we can finally step back and take it easy. You can have a spouse, an idol. Anything that takes the rightful place of God on the throne of our hearts can be an idol. Religion can be. You know, you can go to an evangelical Christian church and you can have that as an idol. Because if, look at Revelation chapter 2, is it Revelation 2, church at Ephesus? Remember? They were doing everything they were supposed to do. But he said, God says, "I hold this against you. You have lost your first love." They were doing all these wonderful things, but as I shared with some and many people in the last number of years, there's no way that we can do a right thing when we do it the wrong reasoning, the wrong motives, and at the wrong time. Doing a right thing at the wrong time without God is not the right thing. We have to be really careful of that. But what we do is we tend to be like the Gibeonites. We can start to put our belief system, our thoughts, and this human wisdom that we have, and we can go, oh, this is right, it's a good thing, so I'm going to do it. It's not part of God's plan and will for your life, and God's not led you to do it, it's not right. Doesn't matter how good it is. So it's very important for us to recognize this, these idols around us that we are every single day faced with, no matter how simplistic it might be. Even doing something for your spouse, you know, this would just be wonderful, and God wants you to do X today. You were supposed to be at work doing this, and you decide to take a sick day. You're not sick, and because you want to go out and do something nice for your spouse, you've just done something that's right the wrong way. You just took something that could have been blessable and taken it to a place of unable to be blessed. Now, if you took a day that you had that was what? A personal day. You have that, you know, a bank at work where they're able to give you this time that you're able to use that. Now, if your work says you can use a sick day for that, that's great. You're okay with doing that. But if you do the right thing the wrong way, it's wrong. Don't allow bowing down to the idol of self, self-interest, self-desires. Because you know what? Even thinking about the financial sense, you don't even know how many people in my lifetime that I've heard, I'm going to really work hard, I'm going to go after it, I'm going to, you know, I'm sacrificing all this time right now with my family, but one day I'm going to take it easy, I'm going to have enough money, we're going to be able to just sit back and enjoy life. You know how many times I've seen that happen and they never end up doing that? You don't even know the number of times that I've stood over a casket, preached a funeral for someone who believed that one day they would finally get that time to do what they should have been doing, like I said all along. Take that time with your family now. Be broke, meaning meet the needs that God blesses you to be able to meet through what you have. Don't kill yourself to get what you're hoping you'll get down the road, because it won't come. Enjoy that time with your family right now, because you don't have tomorrow. Don't think for a moment you do. Because I know from personal experience, we don't have it. We don't have 5 minutes from now, for that matter. You embrace everyone in your life, and you live every moment right now like it's your last one, because you know what will happen? One day when you finally realize that you have met the last moment that you will be alive, if you're able to even comprehend that at that moment, or you have that deathbed type of thing, you will sit there, lay there with no regrets. You won't lay there going, I'll tell you what, I sure wish that I'd have spent 30 more minutes at Walmart doing my return. But I tell you what you will do. If you squander the time that you have with your family now, I can assure you that if you have that deathbed experience, you will sit there wishing, you will sit there with regret, wishing you could go back and change what now you cannot. Well, I talk a lot about legacies. Legacies are not made when you find out that you have terminal cancer. You don't all of a sudden go, okay, now I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do so that people remember me by whatever. No, right now we are establishing the legacy of what we will be right now. We are preaching our funerals right now. What transcends and goes on after you and I stop breathing in this earthly sense is being established right now, and it's super important. Remember that all of these, Johnny Cash, one of the last albums he had, it's his Empire of Dirt he talked about. My Empire of Dirt, remember? You know that song? The empires of dirt, they, along with the winds of time, are part of the sands of time, and they are gone. Because the footprints that we make in this time in history, the winds of time, the sands of time, quickly remove them if they are not rooted in something that is eternally based. Having the ability to impact lives and to make transformative differences in people's lives. So it's amazing that if you think about it, we have a birth date, we have a death date. That little tiny space in between is what literally exemplifies the entire time that we have on this earth, that little dash. You want to get caught in some foolishness today and the idols that will steal from us the ability to have something that's consequential? How many people live inconsequential lives, meaning they have no meaning, they have no consequence? I want a life that's consequential, that impacts people, that long follows me after this earthly life is done. And that's what I'm dealing with. If we look at this right there, Paul was seeing this right here in verses 16 and 17. His spirit was troubled because he saw these people following these idols. And Paul recognized that this was nothing. This was nothing more than an ability to have what they had the potential to be robbed from them, stolen. And you and I this morning face the same thing.
What this morning is the sum total of your life? Never in my life would I believe that I've gotten this 48 years old, how quickly that, let's just say even 23 to 48 has gone. Boom. You know, people who came here to Longview maybe didn't even have children now that are almost 15 years old if they were born here, because, matter of fact, in a few more days, I've been here for 15 years. How quickly that 15 years that I have seen and these children now are almost driving. It's just amazing. Some of the ones that were teenagers here when I came are now married with children of their own. How quick. The winds of time, blowing the sands of time. And then, by the way, we're all changing in our looks. We're not getting any younger. We're not growing more hair unless you're going to the hair club for men or whatever it is, or doing them hair plugs in you. Those things scare me, by the way, they have, and they have all those. You ever seen them? I saw it, and it looked, I have that trypophobia thing with the, so when, it's kind of scary, but if not, you know what all your hairline's doing, right? Happy trails to you. It's saying bye, as we're all trying to comb over and hang on to what little we got, amen, back left. And that beautiful brown or black hair or whatever, you know, is now wanting to turn gray. And either you have a loving relationship with Just for Men or the Miss Clairol's trying to fight back, right? And gravity is whipping, I mean, just wearing us out, right? Pulling us down. It's going to win. Everything's going down, right? I'm not even talking about this earthly body that's going to lay down one time. I'm talking about, you know, the gravity is saying, hey, I'm here. But it's just these things that we can't stop, that every day are a reality, whether we want to recognize it, realize it or not. So people, we don't want to talk about death, but yet it's the reality for all of us. If you're scared to talk about death, we need to talk, because death is nothing to be afraid of. As a matter of fact, as Paul says, my desire is to depart. What is his desire to depart? Get in the car and leave? No. Paul's desire was to end this earthly task that he had been given and go home to a place where there is no longer pain and heartache and hurt and separation and loneliness and the grief that we share and bear as humans in a sin-filled world, broken. Man's choice, by the way. See, these idols, we got to contemplate today. What is numero uno? What's number one in your life today? What is your passion? What's your heart? I could spend a day with you and tell you what yours is. You would never have to tell me. Just give me 24 hours with you. I'll tell you what you're serving. That's all I need is time. But you can answer that quickly yourself, because you know this morning what makes you tick. What is the thing that drives you? And if it is not living out your plan, the purpose that God created you to live out, right now you're being robbed. And you have the ability today to step back and recognize that, see that for what it is, and say, I'm not going to be caught in a foolish trap having stolen from me something that I can never get back. That is time. And the fulfillment in that relationship that God has given us through Christ, and that gift of salvation to experience. The enemy desires to rob us and steal that from us this morning. Listen to verse 18. It says, then also some of the Epicurean, the Stoic philosophers argued with him. Some said, what is this pseudo-intellectual trying to say? Others replied, he seems to be a preacher of foreign deities, because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Leads to the second thing I want to share with you this morning, and is this. Confusion's all around us. Confusion is all around us. I happened to see a Skittles bag today. It might have been a joke. I saw it in a major retailer. I'm not doing commercials for anybody this morning, but I saw a Skittles bag where they had no color in there, and they, from what I gathered in the quick look at that, they wanted a bag of Skittles that represented our cultural thing right now, where no one's nothing. You know how sad that is? Because do you realize that the definition of who we are is made in our Creator's design for us? By being a woman, by being a man, by being what God created us to be, we are given an identity. Do you realize that when you remove the identity from someone, you remove what reason they live, move, and have their being? You know how sad that is? See, America and the world for that matter has become so wise, as Romans chapter 1, that they have become fools. No longer does this created purpose matter. No, you just be whatever you want to be. What they don't tell you, though, is the levels of depression, severe depression, levels of suicidal ideation or the thought process of suicide, the lack of fulfillment, the depression, not only depression, but the medication use, and people who have been robbed from the ability to have a definition. They're not telling you anything about that. Why? Because that doesn't sell. That doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't fit the narrative when I was a police officer and we went through the FBI school and we went through the profiling school of how certain crimes are committed and what happens in those crimes. And they didn't tell you that in certain relationships there is severe violence and there are certain indicators when you go to a homicide scene that will be done in certain people groups that have lived a certain life and lifestyles. There's a pattern that's followed. It's interesting that when they're selling these fulfilling relationship structures to our, some cases I'm hearing about in kindergartners now, they're not telling you about those things. They're just saying, eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. Don't understand now why children have an epidemic of depression in young children. Don't understand why there's so much violence amongst each other and all of these things. Huh, I wonder why. I don't think it could have anything to do with the fact that they've been robbed of hope. They've been robbed of a very definition of who they are and what they've been created to do. So they're literally like a bobber sitting out there floating with absolutely no purpose at all. But remember, there's no big deal. Because that's where you find fulfillment, isn't it? Yeah, I guess so. We have become so wise that now in our school systems, we have, again, epidemics of depression, suicide, all of these different things. I could read you a litany, a list of them today. But we don't want to believe for a moment that that could have anything to do with it. Brothers and sisters, there's confusion all around us. That I just dealt with the children, but now look at the adult side of this. This morning, I hope you have hope. And I hope your hope is not in the fact that the culture has so warped itself that you now can be whatever you want to be, right? Have it your way like Burger King. I read about a lawsuit, I guess it was about a week or two ago, where someone had a change in operation. They transitioned from blah, blah, to blah, blah. Well, they have not done well with it, and they are now suing the doctors because they said, you guys did not psychologically qualify me and help me understand what I was doing. I was caught up in a phenomenon, and now I have a catastrophic issue that I cannot go back and fix that has detrimentally affected me. It's finally someone speaking a little bit of rational reason into it. Amen? Why do we believe for a moment that you can go in and do something like that with this minimal amount of counseling, but when you want to do other things, they require vast amounts of counseling or won't even let you do it? Why would we let children without their parents' permission get life-changing things done to your bodies, and in some states without parents' permission, underage, and we think that that's not going to have any consequential effect to children? For anybody, does that matter? But remember, there's deception, there's confusion all around us all the time. Why do I say, get in the Word? Because in the Word, you find definition, you find meaning, you find reason. And guess what? Most importantly, you find hope. Why do you get depressed? You get depressed when you have no hope. And if I'm in school right now, remember, there's no God, right? Because they don't teach that. So what they tell you is, you aren't a boy, you aren't a girl, you're nothing, and you just enjoy whatever you want to do and have fun. If that's me, I'm going to be quite hopeless because I'm nothing. And there's no hope. Right? For me, that would be detrimental to everyone around me. Because then what you've done is told me, you just need to be a predator. Be an apex predator, right? Be the top of the food chain in predator speak. Because there's no reason to live. Why in the world would you stop for a red light, is my question. Why?
Why follow the speed limit?
All you got to do is speed fast enough, long enough, they're gonna stop pursuing you, correct? So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. When you take away that there's an absolute moral law, when there's a reason that you love someone next to you, you create a very dangerous society. Amen? I'm thankful today that the reason that I live like I live is not just based on the fact that everybody needs to sing Kumbaya together. I'm thankful today that there is a basis with which I live my life. It's because there's a God that's created me. He created me with definition. He created me with reason. He created me with purpose. And the people next to me, you, are my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that have been created by God also in the image of God, the image bearers of the Lord. And therefore, you should love them. Amen? Because you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. We don't know why they're beating each other to a pulp at school and they're hurting each other. There's no reason not to. I'm thankful this morning that I have a reason to live, to serve, and to glorify God in loving my neighbor as myself. And then listen to verses 19 through 21. It says, "Then they took him, brought him to the Areopagus, and said, 'May we learn about this new teaching you're speaking of? For what you say sounds strange to us, and we want to know what these ideas mean.' Now all the Athenians and foreigners residing there spent their time, nothing else, but telling or hearing something new." Third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is this. There is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. You're not going to go find something new under the sun. You're not going to find a way to finally live outside of God's plan for your life. And for the first time in history, you'll be the one that's able to truly find fulfillment outside of that. It can't happen. There's nothing new. You can try it, but it will never bring you what no other human being in history has ever been able to achieve either. Living outside of God's plan for your life, and you will find fulfillment in that. Because if that's the truth, God's a liar. And let's just shut the doors, go home, and be done. Amen? Let's stop wasting this time on Sundays and Wednesdays and during the week reading the Word. It's ironic that when I became a follower of Christ, God convicted me about reading the Bible. I started reading the Bible. My level of peace and fulfillment increased. Again, I'm a person that wants to see results. If there's no results, I'm out of here. You know what I mean? You're not going to get me drinking some kind of potion off of some root and not seeing a tangible difference in my life. I'm not going to waste the time drinking whatever it is if I think that it's supposed to cause something that is beneficial to my body or my health. I'm going to go, this is a farce, or maybe it just didn't interact with my body the way it was supposed to. I'm not going to put moisturizer on my skin and not see a tangible reason for doing that and continue to do that. That is insanity, right? Doing the same thing over expecting a different outcome, right? The same way as that when you are unkind to people and you wonder why you have no friends. I don't know why. I put my post on Facebook and nobody comments on it. Nobody thumbs ups or whatever you do now with them, smiley faces or whatever emojis. And I don't understand why no one wants to be around me. Well, if you go to a party and you pull a skunk out of your bag and say, "Hey, y'all, check out my cat," how many times are you going to be invited to the party again? Thank you. You won't be. What's going to happen is you will slowly isolate and alienate yourself, because misery loves company, and if you're not a miserable person, you are not going to continue to dwell in the presence of or encourage someone who, whenever you get around them, you find yourself not being bettered, but find yourself drowning. That's why we got to realize these things. So why would we follow the pattern of the world that says, hey, plunge yourself into this, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die? I don't want anything to do with that, because again, as I said, when I started reading God's Word and started praying, there was a tangible difference in my life, and this is what you can tell you about me. If there hadn't been, I wouldn't be here. I have no time to sit around and plunge myself into fairy tales or things that are fables. I'm just that kind of person. I'm a black and white. It's right, it's wrong, God's Word, there it is. If you like it, fine. If you don't, that's your problem too. You can take it to the bank, do what you want to do with it. I don't have time to flim-flam with you and play games. I just don't, because I am way on this side of my lifetime and I don't have any more time to mess around. When I was young, I thought I did, but I don't. See, there's nothing new under the sun. I realize that. And if I knew right now that this was bunk and I had not had a tangible difference in honoring and living for the Lord and serving him, I'm telling you, those of you who know me well enough know I wouldn't be here. People in my family would tell you for sure I wouldn't be here. Because I recognize today there is nothing new under the sun, and I recognize that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that guards my heart in Christ, I know that's real. I'm not here because of religion. I don't need religion. I don't want religion. As a matter of fact, let me just tell you straight from the horse's mouth, I disdain religion because religion is not a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the reason I'm here this morning, is because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not here for religion. If I was here for religion, I'd be dressed a certain way, I'd talk a certain way, and I would just be doing all of these things a certain way, right? Because religion is just doing a bunch of rules and doing a bunch of things just because. I'm here because Jesus Christ has saved me, he's delivered me, and how much could I hate you not to stand up here and proclaim the truth that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Do I have it all figured out? Absolutely not. I will one day. But the day that I do, you won't be able to talk to me in this realm, because I will have gone from salvation to the process right now I'm in, sanctification to glorification. Are there times that I sit down and go, God, I just don't understand, man. I don't, God. Yes, there's a lot of times I do. There are a lot of times that I want to say, God, I'm not going to say, let people get mad, I want to holler and scream at God. It's not going to work for me, because I realize God is much bigger. His incomprehensible nature with who he is, I do recognize, because I'm old enough and I've watched it firsthand. Everything that I've watched in life, the vast majority of things that I thought were terrible, God used in some way. Some way. Again, the most notable one was my sister Martha's death. My parents, I'm not even born at this point, my parents in Costa Rica, serving the Lord as missionaries. My sister Martha, my parents had my brother Dan. They had Martha. They were going to have no more children. They had their boy. They had their girl. They were fine. My mom was going to get fixed when she got back to the States, and never would have been my brother Tim, nor would have been me. What did God know? Had to have a boy, because if they'd had a girl, they'd have never had me. So they had my brother Tim, who's the judge in Florida. And guess what? We want a girl. So, one more time, here's me. You realize this morning, had that not happened, had my parents not suffered unimaginable grief, especially think about this, you've left everything. My father was at the post office in Chicago, had the promise of being in the highest position in the postal service, walks away from that because God calls them to be missionaries, leaves all of that behind to go to school, to study, to learn Spanish, to learn the culture, and to go be missionaries in Peru. Gave all that up for God to reward you with what? You know what I'm talking about when I start saying there's reasons that you can step back and go, God, what's going on here? See, God knew what my parents didn't know. And even me putting the pieces together a few years ago when I said that the first time here, and I said, Mom, Pop, you realize had Martha lived, I would not be here. And even for them, brought a new spotlight, so to speak, on the reality of, wow, all those years later, really could have not seen and understood. Step back and go, I still don't understand it, but look, I here this morning stand in front of you because my parents suffered a consuming level of grief in Peru as a missionary all those decades ago. When you're in it, though, and you're my parents on the mission field, or you're in that moment of grief, it's really hard to even imagine and believe that something can happen that can be used in an awesome and a positive way. It's really hard, isn't it? But just understand this. There's nothing new under the sun. And there's a promise. That's one of the great things about the times at life that things are so difficult. You have this promise, and God's not now going to make himself to be a liar. Might not be today or tomorrow. It might be next week or next month. But there's going to be something good that comes out of everything, and it's so difficult to understand and believe that. Those are those things I'm talking about with God. That's the thing that I'm talking about right now. When we get something in our our toolbox, spiritual toolbox that we walk out of here with. We don't have to even at that time be, okay, God, that's great. Now I'm going to go on and just, no, you might even still wrestle at those times. You have a wife, a husband that walks out on your kids or whatever happens. I mean, you can, there's a litany of things, an unnamed magnitude or long list of things that you and I can only think or have experienced in your life when I'm talking about these things. You don't have to be able to comprehend that something can be used out of those. What I'm telling you this morning is, just trust me, I know it will. Me with the wheelchair. I'm sitting in the wheelchair and the doctor says, hey, your husband's not going to walk. This is his reality. Get used to it. Is that what I want to hear? No, but I had to trust God. See, God saw this. God knows March 5th of 2023. I couldn't see it. All I could see right then is the daily reality of Emily taking the kids, leaving in the morning, going to work, dropping them off because I couldn't take care of them. And then at night, whatever time, if it was a late night, sometimes 12 plus hours later, the kids and her come home. I didn't understand it, but yet God did. And this morning, just remember, there's nothing new under the sun, and there's a light of truth, a light of God's power and God's presence in the, even if only a sliver in the darkest of dark, that God's going to be faithful. He always has been and he always will be. Trust him. Stand back. Don't buy in to this Epithenian Stoic philosophy of, let's go find something new, let's buy into this. Let truth transcend the darkness of life, of circumstance, of the reality of what you're dealing with right now. By the way, tomorrow the phone rings. One of us at one time or another are going to get that call. The Brooks family experienced it last week. Many of you here have experienced it at some time or another. The question becomes, what are you going to do now to prepare for the time that that does happen? Does it mean that you'll understand it, that you'll be fine with it, and you're going to just roll through it, and you're going to be a Job, and you'll just tear your robe, get in the ash pile, and praise God? I'd say not. I'd say there'll be much weeping, and there's going to be much frustration and anger at times. But God's still faithful, church. He's still faithful. When you hear that, hey, there's something new, run. Run. Because there's nothing new. Again, I'm old enough now that what I've seen, what I've studied, what I've heard, what I've experienced would have led me to truth. And this is the only truth that is truth. As a matter of fact, it's the only religion on the planet where it is by grace and through faith, the free gift of salvation through Christ Jesus. Every other religion, quote unquote, is you're working towards a chance or a possibility. I'm just going to tell you, I don't have time for a chance or a possibility. This morning, what I stand here to proclaim is a truth, a steadfast, unchanging truth that I hope you know this morning. I hope you know this morning that if you've confessed with your mouth, believed in your heart, and come to faith in Jesus Christ, I hope you know beyond a shadow of a doubt today that if you breathe your last breath and stand in the presence of the Lord, that you don't go, oh, I hope. If you say that, then you don't know Christ, because I know this morning that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you know that you have eternal life. I know on my worst day that I have eternal life in Christ. You know what I recognize at those moments? That I least deserve it than any other time in life or history. But that's not what it's based on. It's by grace and through faith, not of works. And I'm thankful this morning that on my worst day, God loves me as much as he does on the day that I've done exactly what God created me to do. He loves us that much. And I'm thankful that God loves me in my brokenness as much as he loves me in my plenty spiritually. Do you know that this morning? Or maybe you've been caught in a works-based salvation thing where you're out there doing these things because you're scared God's not going to like you or love you if you don't do those things. I want you to understand something this morning. That right there is as destructive as any other thing that you could ever imagine or believe. Because what you're doing right then is you're being, in a sense, caught in an Old Testament theology of a belief system that the enemy loves, because what he does is paralyze us. And the attacks that he throws at us are very effective in doing what? Making us believe that God's not going to love us if we don't do X. Now, do we use that as a thing of going, hey, I don't have to do anything and God's going to love me? No, you should want to love him. You should want to serve him and you should want to glorify him. That's why we've been created. I'm not doing what I do, though, today because I'm scared that I'll go to hell if I don't do it. No, that's not a gift of grace through Christ Jesus and salvation, would it be? No, that would be me living a life scared that I will lose my salvation. This morning, I shared last week, broad is the road that leads to destruction, many of them that go, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. This morning, I serve, I honor, and I glorify the Lord because he loves me, he sent his son to die for me, and he saved me. What greater privilege could I have than to serve him? I'm doing what he has created me to do this morning. I'm just fulfilling the plan and the purpose that God has had for my life. And at those moments that I fall, I get back up, I repent, and I keep going forward. And I'm very thankful that God is so, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he's what? Faithful. To do what? Forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the beauty this morning. Maybe this morning you're in a mud puddle spiritually. You're face down in the mud puddle. And you don't know which ends up. The great thing is, the spiritual compass, God is the spiritual compass. You don't even have to know which ends up. All you have to do is recognize, man, I'm so far out of line. I don't even know what in the world. I don't know what planet spiritually I'm on right now. I know I profess faith in the Lord, but right now I feel like a train wreck. The great thing is, think about Nehemiah. Potter's house. About that scripture I share with you about the potter's house. He went to the potter's house. He saw the potter working on a vessel that was marred, reforming it into a new vessel as he saw fit. That's those people that get down in that mud puddle, sometimes make such a mess that the original intended ministry that God had for them cannot even be used for that anymore because they so marred the vessel. You know what that shows? That the potter is so gracious in reforming you. What it means is he's going to use you. So if this morning you've marred the vessel that God's given you, the plan, the purpose that God's given, and you so mess things up that you feel unusable, unloved, and unworthy, don't. Because in your 1 John 1:9, when you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Also, as you do that, you are allowing yourself to be placed on the potter's wheel to be formed into a new vessel as the potter sees fit. Isn't that encouraging? You don't have to get caught up in this Epicurean and Stoic philosophy. Be careful of the wisdom of the world. I have to watch it myself because I love theology and I love, but I'm going to tell you something dangerous. Because in the human mind and comprehension, we can really get out there in left field in a major way. And we can actually be our own worst enemy to a detriment of our own minds and self in doing that. But again, number one, idols are all around us. Don't forget that. Go out of here recognizing that. Don't allow work. Don't allow wife. Don't allow family. Because by the way, when we use our family and we make them into an idol, we are placing something on them that's wrong. They can't live up to the standard that we do in doing that. They need to be loved by us freely, the same way that Christ loves us. We need to love our wives as Christ loved the church, not, hey, as long as you do X, I'm going to love you. But if not, oh no. We hear in the culture, right? Oh, I fell out of love. No, you didn't love him then. Amen? What is love? Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So love should transcend time. So he said, I'll love you till death do us part. I'm going to love you after that. I won't be here, right? We're going to love into eternity because why? He first loved us. That's why I don't like saying that, till death do us part, love. No, we're going to love him forever. Just because we cease to be in the earthly context doesn't mean that we stop loving them. I know what they're well-meaning in that, but I like to dig deeper into things and recognize, hey, I love you into eternity the same way God loves us. I'm going to love you. That is a love that believes, endures, hopes, love that never fails. And then the second thing again, confusion's all around us. Don't allow the world's wisdom to confuse you and rob you of the fulfillment that's found in truth. Again, don't take what I say. Get in God's word, man. Pray that God would affirm his truth to you. Maybe you're sitting here going, you know what? I think he is full of 900 pounds of condensed horse mess. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start reading the word, and I'm going to test him in that. I encourage you to. Because let me tell you what God will do. God's not going to prove that what I'm saying is wrong this morning. He is going to affirm that what I'm saying is true because he's all-powerful. And I could stand up here for the next 15 years and not convince you of what God can do if you, what? Desire to know him when you seek me with all your heart, what? I will be found. Matthew chapter 7, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door, what? Will be opened. You struggling with whether all this is real? All I tell you this morning, and I challenge you, start reading it and say, God, I don't understand and I don't like it, but I want to know, are you real? Is this truth? I challenge you to. And you'll find out what happens if you truly want to know. You'll find out the reality of a God that loves you, a God that's all powerful, a God that has a purpose and a plan for your life, and a God that will reveal himself to you like nobody could ever do in a million years. And then again, third and finally again, nothing new under the sun. Keith Green sings a song, Run to the End of the Highway. You run to the end of the highway and not find what you're looking for, you can go. You can run all day long. You look in the 60s at the Stairway Movement, you can study that. They were all these spiritual philosophies, these gurus, you know, drugs, psychedelics, all these things they were doing to find the spiritual door to bliss and all that. You've got the Baha'i Faith. In the Baha'i Faith, their buildings are round, and there's all these doors all the way around the building, and the center is just light. And what it's in essence saying is that all roads lead to the light. Well, see, I know what truth says. There is but one name under heaven by which a man must be saved, and that's Christ Jesus. There's only one who's paid the price for us, church. It sounds wonderful. If that was truth, I'd want to believe that that was true. But because it's not, I have to stand here and call truth for what it is. Truth is exclusive. The exclusivity of Jesus Christ as the gateway, the door of salvation, is one thing this morning that is undeniable. Jesus Christ was not conceived with an earthly father. Had he been, he could not have been the one that paid our sin debt because he would have been given the sin DNA from his father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, therefore was sinless. And this morning I'm so thankful that Christ Jesus not only was sinless, but was able to pay for the sinful proclivities of mankind that we are born into. In Adam, all sinned. In Christ, all are made righteous. This morning, my question is, what are you doing? What have you done with Jesus? God doesn't force you this morning. God's desire, what does the scripture say? His desire is that none should perish this morning. What are you doing with the gift of salvation with Jesus Christ in and only in him? This morning, what is your identity found in? You like the fact that you're really good at your job? Well, that's wonderful. But I just want to tell you this morning, I don't care who you are. I don't care how irreplaceable you think you are at your job. I can sit down and tell you story after story after story. They will replace you. I promise you they will. And it won't be nearly as hard as you think it'll be. Because I've had a lot of people that have believed that, and once they were let go or they retired or they left, it actually hurt their feelings because they found out how easily they were replaced. If your identity is in that, I want to encourage you this morning to find your identity this morning and who God has created you to be, because once that happens, it is very heartbreaking. It is very difficult. My dad, even pastoring, my dad, remember, he said, I was so excited one day not to have that phone on. He said, but then after I retired, the phone stopped ringing and I realized nobody needed me anymore. He said, thankfully, I had my identity in the Lord, but even still, that was tough. This morning, Where's your fulfillment coming from? We're all replaceable. I'm thankful this morning that in the context of God's purpose and plan, that fulfillment, that absolute peace that surpasses all understanding is found in the middle and only in the middle of that. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.